Kevin Harlan here. Tonight at 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime Crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tonight, only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
Time now for another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. You know, we get you to work every morning on the Bob and Tom Show. Now every afternoon at 3, we're going to post a little extra for you to get you laughing on your way home or whenever you download this thing. On the big show today, Kevin Nealon's in studio talking about Saturday Night Live, plus comedian Alex Kumin.
Happy to be here. We've just been joined by Kevin Nealon, comedian, who apparently got the memo that it was flannel shirt day.
Oh, yeah.
Now I feel bad that I'm the only one not wearing one.
You've got one.
Yeah,
not
put
bringing
it, on.
It up again.
Just put it on.
Christy brought it in. And
Look how he picks it up.
Oh, he can't take it. He picks it up like he's holding a diaper. Like
it's a brand new shirt. I washed it.
That's not a very big shirt. It looks like it's a child's small.
It's an extra large.
It has one pocket, so I'm out.
Rip off a sleeve for me.
Okay. That's the voice of Alex Kumin. Kevin Nealon has just joined us.
Give me that shirt back.
I am so excited to be here, Tom. I was outside watching you guys on the feed, and I said the same thing. It must be flannel shirt day, because I got mine on, too.
Yeah. Was that just by chance?
And you know what the hotel I'm staying at? There's a hunter's convention, so everyone's got flannel and camouflage. It's camouflage flannel shirts.
Oh, wow. That's a nice shirt.
Yeah.
Wow. Good to see you, Kevin. Long time no see. We've talked to you many times since you were on this program way before you were on Saturday Night Live. I don't even know if you remember that.
Back in the day. I went to middle school, I was on this show.
You and I are the exact same age.
So oh, okay.
Nothing will be revealed.
This radio station, I mean, you guys are all over. I know you're worldwide on the Armed Forces Network, but you're also everywhere in the United States, too.
Lots of places. Happy to be there. And you're on the TV all the time.
I'm on the TV, yeah.
And Man with a Plan is back.
It's back in February, fourth season. It's a show on CBS with Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know Tommy Jonigan, our friend?
I love Tommy. He just did my show the other night. I do a show at the Laugh Factory once a month in L.A. It's called New Material Night.
Tommy's doing stand-up again?
He took a few years off to write on the show I'm on. And creating other shows, and now he's going back into stand-up. He's really good.
Oh, he's one of the best.
Yeah, we've known him as a stand-up for many years.
Yeah.
Since he was a baby.
He's a little baby comedian.
Baby comedian.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. In fact, the reason I'm on the show I'm on now is because of Tommy.
Really?
Tommy wrote a pilot a couple of years ago. I forget the name of it, but believe it or not, I played his father. Can you believe that? It should be the other way around. But so... We had a good time doing it, and Tommy played the lead, and the show didn't get picked up, but CBS saw Tommy and liked his writing, and also they liked me from that show. So when this Matt LeBlanc show came along, they remembered me, and they said, yeah, let's bring him in. Hmm. So I had to do a chemistry read with Matt LeBlanc, and I came right from the dentist from that. So half of my face was numb, you know, but I had to be there. So by the time I get there, I've kind of crammed the lines into my head, and I'm in a side room, you know, where the producers are, off to the side, and Matt LeBlanc comes in. I've never met him before. It's Joey.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
It's Tribbiani. And he comes in and he goes, "Hey, how you doing?" And I said, "Oh, that's that line."
He was hitting on you.
He goes, "Yeah, well, how you doing? How you doing?" I found out since then he doesn't like that at all.
Oh.
You don't bring that up with him.
It's like saying dynamite to the wrong guy.
Well, one day we had a little face off where I kept going, "How you doing?" to him, and he kept going, "We want to pump you up."
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. So I do the chemistry. We do a run through with him, you know, and we're doing our lines. And then he leaves and he goes into the other room. And he told me later, the producers asked him, they said, "How did he do? How was he?" He goes, "You know, he's pretty good, but I think he might have had a stroke because, you know, from the Novocaine."
Oh.
Wow.
I just come from the dentist, so, you know.
What is the right classic? Is it 10? Is that the movie? Where Dudley Moore's been to the dentist and...
Oh, yeah.
Is that great scene? He's trying
with Bo Derek.
Yeah, with Bo Derek, and he's like, drinking tea or something, and it's hotter, and so his whole face is...
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I had that happen to me recently, and I...
Do you know what, Tom? You mentioned 10, and I would say 75% of the country now has never heard of that movie.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can top that.
I think second that's way low.
Oh, here we go.
I can top that. Today we had a sad death in the...
Why would you want to talk about that?
Because Kevin and I are the same age, so when he was a five-year-old boy, he probably was listening and watching this TV show. 77 Sunset Strip. Remember that?
I sure do, man.
As a little kid.
Yeah, there was a lot of Brill Cream in that hair.
Yeah, kooky, and there was the song Kooky.
Crazy finger snap, too.
It is good.
Holy hell.
They got the same guy that did the Addams Family.
Oh. Yeah. First call, finger snap.
He was a session snapper, yeah.
That guy was in big demand back then.
Yeah. You know, Theodore Thumbs Johnson.
The funny thing is, it probably was the same guy.
Probably.
There's a small group of people that do that stuff. Yeah, the Kooky, Ed Burns, EDD, not Ed Burns, the younger filmmaker.
That's right.
Right.
Often confused.
Yeah.
Never confused.
Never confused. Yeah,
because as you pointed out, it's like mentioning Bo Derek and 10. It's just gone. That was kind of a cultural milestone. And then
that's iconic, her on the beach there or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much gone away. I think Kevin is right.
That braided hair that everybody got in the Bahamas. Yeah. You saw that for years after.
You know, I live in Los Angeles, and I've never looked for 77 Sunset Strip. I wonder if there is an address there.
Oh.
I need to know where to leave flowers.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, something will happen. We had a story a couple days ago. In the Bronx, the stairway used in Joker is now being inundated by fans.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure 70 years ago, whatever it was, or 60 years ago, they were taking pictures at 77 Sunset Strip.
More inundated, though, than the Exorcist staircase in Georgetown?
Mm-hmm. They mentioned that in the article.
Yeah.
I wonder which one is more famous.
And the Rocky statue.
Yes.
Those are sort of the iconic.
And also there's staircases in L.A. and Los Feliz where I think it was Abbott and Costello?
Oh, the famous piano?
Oh, the piano, the piano, music box? Yeah.
Who was that?
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy, that's right. Yeah. So there's a lot of famous staircases out there, but no famous escalators.
No, there sure aren't. Yeah.
Except for maybe Miracle on 34th Street at Macy's.
Oh, right.
Is that an escalator?
That's a wooden. It was a wooden escalator.
I haven't seen one of those in a while. Those are cool.
Yeah. But you don't want to get stuck on one of those.
Oh, man. You stand there for hours.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. The wood becomes petrified.
Yeah.
How do they get you down from there?
It's a very...
They don't.
Kevin Nealon is our guest. When you made the transition from being a stand-up to, and you were on Saturday Night Live, for example, when you would do the weekend update, because you did that for several years, did you sit in the writer's room with everybody, or was that... How did that work?
First of all, when you made the transition, I got scared for a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Formerly got me confused.
Formerly Alice Nealon.
You're thinking of EDD. here's what happened, Tom. That's a good question. The writers typically didn't like to write for Weekend Update because it wasn't glorifying. You know, nobody on Monday would around the water cooler would say, "Hey, man, who wrote that Clinton joke? You know, that was a great joke." They wanted to write characters and have really, you know, good sketches. So I would send out alerts to my friends. If anybody has a joke for Weekend Update, people that weren't even on the staff, I'll pay them $50 out of my own pocket for the joke. And I was also writing, looking at the papers. And you couldn't look at the papers until like Saturday morning because all the late night talk shows and morning radio people had covered everything that was going on in the news. Right. They made all the jokes about it. So eventually, Lorne Michaels hired a writer for me. And also before that, they put out a breakfast up in the writer's wing of 30 Rock on the 17th floor to try to entice writers to come to write Weekend Update. So they had a hot breakfast catered, and they had newspapers all over the big table like this and AP photos because there was no Google back then. This is back in the 1900s. You understand what I'm saying? And so the only people that would come up to write would be Al Franken. Norm MacDonald would kind of come up because he just wanted to read the paper and have breakfast, but he wouldn't write anything. And a few of the newer writers. So that didn't really work. So the answer is no, I wouldn't get into a room with a lot of writers.
But you had to come up with a bunch of stuff yourself.
Yeah, I came up with a lot of stuff myself,
Still one of the great formats of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
The newscaster at the desk.
Yeah.
And I think they've really done a great job of keeping, of maintaining really strong people doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's such a diverse, eclectic group of people that have done it. You know, everyone from the original Chevy Chase, who I kind of emulated my Weekend Update character after, to Jane Curtin, to, you know, Tina and all the other people, you know, Colin Quinn, Dennis. Dennis was a big mainstay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it when Dennis Miller did it. There's something about him that just...
It's kind of nice, too, when the Weekend Update person doesn't do sketches as well, which is what I was doing. I was doing both sketches and the Weekend Update. So it was kind of unnerving. You know, after the dress show, I would go to the segment producer and I would tell him which jokes that I wanted to keep in. And he was also a writer, so he liked to keep his jokes in.
Oh.
So I had so much other stuff going on. I was doing sketches and, you know, learning lines. And so when I do the live version of the Weekend Update, I would do it all. And then I go home, and the next morning I'd be laying in bed. And then he didn't take that joke out. I said to take that joke out. But he knew I was so, you know, distracted by other things that I couldn't really focus that much on it.
Not to mention be nervous. You're on Saturday Night Live. Our guests, Alex Kumin and Kevin Nealon. And I wanted to ask Kevin a question about your career. You were on The Tonight Show when you were in your 20s. Let me think here.
30s, early 30s.
Were you early 30s? Okay. Yeah. Okay. But when you did that, you'd been doing stand-up, I guess, for 6 years?
Yeah, right? About 6 years, yeah.
Do you remember the first joke you did on The Tonight Show?
I don't remember what it was.
It was like 84, 85.
That doesn't help.
I'm giving you time to think.
But I will tell you, I almost forgot my whole act while I was waiting to come out. You know, they're coming back from the commercial, and Johnny introduces me, and the curtains open up, the band's playing, the crowd's going crazy, and as I'm walking out to my spot, totally blanked out.
Oh, man. Oh.
Totally blanked out, and I'm standing there not knowing my act, the opening line. And by the time the last clap was finished, it came to me, thank God.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
They don't put it on cue cards?
Not then, no.
Wow. Oh.
Now they do bullet points by the camera and stuff if you want it. But back then, yeah, I didn't even have notes in my pocket.
Oh,
I knew 3 days before when I was going to do it for the first time. They told me that I'd passed and they would take me on there. So from the minute they said you're doing it on Monday or whatever the day was, all I did was go over my act in my head, my 5-minute act. All day long. I could be talking to you now. You think I'd be listening to you, but really I'm doing my act in my head, you know? And then I forgot it when I came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. But then I did remember it. And then it was just a thrill, man. Just I remember standing out there doing my act and hearing the laughs. It was kind of echoey in the distance. I could hear it because I was so inside my head and there were applause breaks. I could hear Johnny laughing.
That had to have been amazing.
Oh, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And they like me.
And he likes you.
And he likes me. And he invited me over for a panel afterwards. It was like a dream. Nothing has ever surpassed that in my career. Saturday Night Live or Weeds, any of that stuff. Nothing gave me that thrill like that first. And I don't know if there's any shows like that now, because that was really the only game back then, right? It was just The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson at night. And now there's, of course, all these other shows.
You don't get that thrill with us?
No, I'm talking late night.
Mornings.
Mornings is the one. I want to talk mornings. Yeah. Okay. I can't even think straight right now.
Right. Forgot your act.
So maybe later this afternoon it'll come to you. Go, wait a minute. My first joke was. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you've been working on that set of what is it? 5 minutes, 6 minutes for
5 minutes, 6 minutes. Yeah. For well, it was a bit I used to do. I don't remember the first joke, but the basic bit was would you rather? I mean, this is, you know, back in 84, before the board game and all that stuff. It was a thing I remember doing as a kid. Would you rather be buried up to your neck in dirt and have somebody paint your head like a soccer ball and then have some Brazilian kids start hanging around? Or would you rather, oh, gosh, I don't know. Oh, let's say get your finger slammed in a car door and have the guy drive away through a car wash. And then they would answer, and then I would say, why? Yeah, me too. Because, you know, they might use hot wax at the car wash.
Right.
So I did that, and that was like my big thing back then. And he liked that. Carson liked that last week. He brought me back again and again. And then I don't remember. Some people remember, like Tom Dreesen remembers how many he did and all that. I don't have any recollection of how many I did with Johnny. I did a lot of guest hosts. I think I did maybe three or four with Johnny, and then I think he cut me loose because during a Christmas holiday, I came on and my opening joke was, this is the joke I remember, I'm getting ready for the holidays. I've been doing a lot of drinking and driving. And the talent coordinator calls me later that night and goes, what was with that opening joke? We didn't go over. I said, yeah, that's always been part of my act. That's, you know, he wasn't paying attention. I didn't know that Johnny had a DUI and he had gotten into some serious problems with drinking.
Oh.
And I know. So I don't think I did it again after that. And they garbled that whole joke when it came out. I watched it on TV. I came out and I go, hey, how you doing, man? I'm getting ready for the holidays. I'll do that green drive.
Wow.
I said, what did I say? What did I say?
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. I did not know that.
How did the Saturday Night Live thing happen?
Well, the story with that is you know, I've been friends with Dana Carvey for a long time before he was on SNL. And he was selected to be on that show for that coming fall. And I was excited for him. I was reading Backstage Live. I was dating Jan Hooks at the time. And I was good friends with Dana. And I was excited. I knew somebody that was going to be on SNL. And he goes to New York. And 2 weeks later, out of the blue, I get a call from him. He goes, hey, Kev, I'm out at Lorne Michaels' house in Long Island. I'm in the back bedroom. Guess who's in the kitchen? Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, no. Anyway, Lorne Michaels is looking for one more cast member. I told him about you. He might want to see your audition tapes. I said, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd are in the kitchen? I wasn't even hearing the other stuff. You know, because I knew I wouldn't get on that show. I mean, because I don't do characters or impressions or accents or things like that. I'm just a stand-up, a really good stand-up. No, it's true. So I send him my tapes, and 2 weeks later, I get another call from Dana. Kev, I'm back out of Lorne Michaels' house. I'm in the back bedroom. Guess who's in the kitchen? Steve Martin. No way. Yeah. Anyway, good news. Lorne liked your tapes. I think they're going to fly you in for an audition. I said, Steve Martin's in the kitchen? I wouldn't believe it. You know, I didn't want to be let down. But I fly into New York. You know, I'm going to show up. I go to 30 Rockefeller Plaza where they tape the show, and I go up to Studio 8H. I walk in there. I immediately get really tired because I used to fall asleep watching that show. It was an association thing. And I do my little audition, and then I leave. And 2 weeks later, I find myself sitting in a high-rise in Beverly Hills across from Lorne Michaels. He's offering me a job on SNL.
Man, oh, man.
I said, let me think about it, Lorne, over the weekend. That's the way I roll. Yeah. He said, well, you think about it over the weekend. We'll see you in New York on Monday. Next thing I know, I'm out at Lorne Michaels' house in Long Island, and I got a call from Dana. He goes, Kev, I'm at Lorne Michaels' house. I'm in the back bedroom. Guess who's in the kitchen? I said, I'm in the kitchen. Now.
So let me ask you this. What was the first thing you bought when you became successful? Because you were bartending, you were hustling around town, working as a young stand-up. You hadn't been on The Tonight Show yet, but when you finally had some extra money, did you buy a better car? What did you?
Well, what I wish I bought was long-term health care. But what I did get was I got a new Saab.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a turbo. Powered Saab. And I remember Jerry Seinfeld at the time was into Saabs. He had a lot of Saabs. So we would always talk about the Saab and all that. But I deserved that car because before that, my first car was a Datsun B210.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the color of an Ace bandage because that's what all they had on the lot. And
attractive.
And my manager talked me into getting it without a radio because it would be cheaper and without AC. worst management decision ever. And I remember going on a date one night. I picked up this girl I was really, really excited about. And she was so disappointed I didn't have a radio in the car. And I got one more date out of that. But the next time I cut out a Blaupunk radio from a magazine and I taped it to the dance floor. I got a radio.
I remember those. They were.
There's today's edition of the Bob and Tom Extra for you. Make sure you catch us every weekday afternoon at 3. You can catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For the Bob and Tom Show, this is Christopher speaking. Have a great one.
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman.
There's a stretch of road in oil rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.